your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Super excited today to be joined with Mark Feichel, brand manager at Pabst Labs. If you haven't heard and seen all the press lately, Pabst Lab just revealed the launch of Pabst Blue Ribbon Cannabis Infused Seltzer. So it's great to have you on the show, Mark. You guys have been absolutely crushing it, and I've been looking forward to having you on all week.
Thanks, Jeff. Super excited to be here. Super, super stoked.
Just to give everyone, you know, a quick background on you, you've had some pretty amazing experience working with so many incredible brands out there in your career. You know, you have walked the halls at Pabst Blue Ribbon working on partnerships, you were on events, and then you were working on spirits. So you kind of, you know, the drill across brand management. And, you know, I think just to kick off the show, it'd be really great, you know, talking about your experience where you're really bringing these products to life.
So I think, you know, obviously a super exciting moment for the cannabis beverage industry, and one that we really hope will unlock the category and really be a game changer. And I think, you know, it might be helpful, Jeff, perhaps at the start to just provide some context, right? So, you know, we're really talking about two organizations, right? It's Pabst Labs, which is our company responsible for the production of the PBR cannabis infused seltzer. And then, of course, Pabst Blue Ribbon, which everyone knows is the company who's been manufacturing alcoholic beverages for the past 176 years. 1844. Been doing beverages for a long time. So as you had mentioned, you know, walk the halls, I was at Pabst Blue Ribbon working on different parts of the business and also on the PBR brand team. I worked on innovation and helped bring and develop some of the products that the brand had recently expanded into. Such as spirits, as you mentioned, but we also have hard coffee and hard seltzers. You know, I left Pabst Blue Ribbon earlier this year to pursue some of my own projects, but got the call and opportunity to work with Pabst Labs to bring cannabis-infused seltzer into market, which is obviously a pretty major opportunity. I've been looking to get into this space for some time, so obviously, you know, I jumped at it. But, you know, our team here at Pabst Labs, we're based in LA, and we're actually comprised of former PBR employees like myself. And we thought that was pretty important. We thought that was pretty important because, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, it was PBR. Are you guys just doing this for the quick buck? Are you guys just slapping your label? But, you know, our team thought it was pretty important that we have the foundational experience to help represent the brand in the right way, right? Now, you know, Pabst Labs, they had been working on this product for really a number of years to get it to a place where, you know, we felt it was worthy of the Blue Ribbon, and also kind of how this came about, right? Everyone asked, okay, well how did PBR get into cannabis? I mean, what's the story, you know? So Pabst Labs, they've been working on this for a few years to really get it to a place where they felt, okay, it's worthy of the Blue Ribbon. And also on the same, you know, on the other side where the Pabst Blue Ribbon team really felt comfortable granting, you know, the brand license, right? So Pabst Blue Ribbon legally, they can't hold a cannabis license, of course, because it's not federally legal, right? So, you know, Pabst Blue Ribbon gave our team, Pabst Labs, the rights to use the brand. And, you know, this for them really afforded them a great opportunity to learn about the space with a group that they trust. Now, you know, I can't speak on behalf of Pabst Blue Ribbon because I'm no longer there. But what I can tell you is that, you know, innovation is, you know, a huge focus for that team. And PBR has worn many hats in the past. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, you guys are a beer company. You know, I think this is awesome, but you guys make beer. And then you guys are going into cannabis and it's seltzer. Like, what's sort of the connection, you know? And I think the connection is that innovation has really been part of the history and pedigree and DNA of the PBR brand, you know, with their innovations, like, you know, the coffee, the recently hard cold brew tea, hard seltzer. And this, again, gave the Pabst Blue Ribbon team a chance to learn about the space with a trusted group. And, you know, you can ask the team, but even when I was on it, you know, we were always being asked if and when PBR would ever do something in cannabis. You know, it's a brand, you know, PBR is a brand that's consistently reinvented and reimagined themselves through their transformational thinking and, you know, creative experimentation. And man, who would have thought 176 years ago? Fast forward to 2020 that you have an entire diverse portfolio of products and like cannabis, like, you know, wow. The, you know, brands lived many lives, but yet none of it compares to any of the change that's happening today.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing. I think, you know, I'm curious from being on the beer and spirit side and now actually being immersed in this whole, you know, cannabis sector, like what are some of the biggest things that you're like, whoa, this is not only is this awesome, but how different is it?
You know, being on the beverage side and also being on the cannabis side, the first thing, you know, you notice in cannabis is people are very forward facing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that beverage brands a lot of them are legacy brands. A lot of brands have been around for a long time, and it's very much, well, this is kind of the way that we've done it, or this is what's worked in the past. And they've kind of, they're a lot of times kind of struck in the routine and are really sort of unwilling to embrace change. And I think a lot of that is changing now. I think that, you know, a lot of brands are really sort of cognizant that, you know, they have to be willing to change. But I think in cannabis, there's news that's coming out every day. Everyone's like, well, when this happens, or we just got 5 more states, or when we go federal, like it's a very forward facing, energetic, I think, community. That is something that I think is very sort of different from my experience in beverages, which I think overall that it carries a very optimistic ethos in cannabis. And that's kind of like off the bat, what I noticed in cannabis for sure. Absolutely.
So I think, you know, obviously people are seeing the news post-election, 5 new states coming on board from a legalization front. You know, I just was on a podcast this morning really talking about, you know, a different podcast, by the way, where I was actually the guest for once.
Super cool.
I know, kind of cool to be on the other side. But, you know, really talking about, yes, we've had this stigma for many years because it's been federally illegal and even illegal in a lot of states. But now that we're moving past this, like, recreation, medical in most states, and kind of the people have spoken, right? They want cannabis legalized everywhere. What are maybe some of the challenges that you face because we're not there yet? Like there's still a lot of unknowns out there. And you know, you guys are coming out now with this really fun, irreverent, exciting product that I think is going to enrich the lives of so many people. But you know, what are some of the challenges that you might be facing when there is still maybe a little bit of stigma out there?
So you brought up 2 really good points, which is sort of the stigma, right? And also sort of normalization, right? So, you know, cannabis had previously, as you had mentioned, industry kind of on the fridge. And we really want to destigmatize industry. And I think, you know, being the first national brand to enter the space is something that should not be it should definitely be something that's underscored, right? Like something we've been hearing a lot from the industry is that, you know, they're proud that we're the first ones who are brave enough to put our brand on a cannabis product, right? And with that comes brand recognition, our audience, you know, our equity, our saliency. And I can guarantee you people are going to be a lot more open to trying something new from a brand that they trust, right? And it's a whole next level of trust, right? And let's, again, not underscore the significance of this. Never before has a brand done this, and no other brands can claim 176 years of history connecting fans around their products, right? Like it unlocks interest from people who maybe have never had interest in the space, right? And I think it's interesting, you know, when you think about when we speak to people in the industry, especially when big brands or beverage brands might enter the space, right? They all say, oh, it's always exciting, but it's also kind of scary. Right. It's exciting to see what the brands are going to do, but also kind of scary because, you know, perhaps some of the smaller brands or the brands that have been there for a long time, you know, oh, damn, they're a big brand. They have the competitive advantage, you know, in their commercialization, their supply chain, their sales infrastructure and so forth. But I think in cannabis, you know, you really have to get it right. I think, you know, our team always felt like you have to come in with the attitude that we're, you know, a guest in the house and we have to earn the seat at the table, right? And really focus on the opportunity. And I think, you know, our hope is that we can create great opportunity even for other brands and really grow the space together.
Totally. So, you know, Mark, I think as I'm kind of like thinking back about trends like the last few years, you know, you've seen this huge shift in consumption, especially in the beer space. Like everyone seems to be drinking hard seltzers these days, right? And so you just mentioned before, like you guys have been working on this for years. Did you have any idea that, you know, seltzer in general spiked with whatever it might be, whether it's cannabis or alcohol, would be this big? Like, I think I saw something like the beverage market, you know, that you're entering right now is something like $2 billion already. Like, Did you have any idea?
Perhaps we did, right? And I think that looking at an entire portfolio, you know, you look at just beer trends in general, and we talk about our spirit of innovation, right? And our willingness to change. And I think that was really sort of the fuel that led us to really, you know, creatively experiment and into different winnable adjacencies, you know, and allowed us to really, you know, lead with innovation. And I think that, you know, to your point, did we know? I mean, I think perhaps we had an idea, but I think that the seltzer category is absolutely on fire right now. And I think that looking at some of the trends and, you know, our portfolio at large, it was a bet that we were willing to take. And I think that that bet is paying off dividends now.
Amazing. So like I was saying, you know, when we first started the podcast, you know, you guys have done a really incredible job on really not just the launch, but really the buzz around this. And, you know, I know you've worked with, you know, a number of, you know, different partners out there to get to where you are today, but anyone in particular that maybe you want to talk about in as you were developing this and producing it that was kind of pivotal in this launch?
Well, you know, beverages are challenging. Right. There is a lot of unique challenges to infused beverages. And I think for a long time, it's been a very, you know, uphill battle. And I think you'll find a few main issues with infused beverages. Right. So it's either bitterness or taste or sort of standards of quality. It's, you know, sometimes you have issues of THC sticking to the can liners and sort of stability. Right. Drinks are tough. And, you know, I think we brought on the right partners to really get this done. I know you had Ben from Virtosa previously on the show, and you know their team does some incredible work, right? They're, I think he said, they're infusing the world, right? That's huge. That's a massive statement, and I think they're really bullish on sort of the destigmatizing and normalization of the category. So they do some incredible work, and I think that we wouldn't have been able to do it without them. And hopefully one day when you do get a chance to try it, Jeff, you'll see. We've been getting some incredible feedback on taste.
I can't wait to try it. It sounds great. It sounds refreshing. And, you know, I actually haven't yet tried a beverage with THC yet. And I'm a huge fan of, you know, trying lots of different products. And, you know, obviously at Philo, we work with so many companies out there across the cannabis spectrum, right? From CBD to edibles to vapes to pre-rolls. And I love trying new products. So I'm really looking forward to this one. It's going to be fun.
Well, why, Jeff? Can I ask you a question? Why no infused beverages? Yeah. I mean, there's a couple players on the market. Some who are, you know, growing pretty exponentially.
I live in New York too, so I don't have access like everyone else on the West Coast. But I just haven't tried any of the beverages yet, even in my travels. So I'm really looking forward to, like, you know, trying it. Cause I'm a big fan, especially with low concentrations of products, like where you're just kind of nicely, you know, elevated and not too out of line. Right. I think that's half the battle. I think a lot of people too, with the edibles market, tend to be a little shy. Like, what do I start with? Is it a low dose? Is it a high dose? How long is it going to take? Sounds to me more of like with a, you know, a seltzer like product is probably quicker too, right?
Yeah. Some interesting points you brought up there. First thing I want to say is, you know, when it comes to edibles too, and especially given sort of the market as is, there's an interesting thing in comparing, you know, we're talking about beverages and perhaps the experience that I've had at beverages. One thing I noticed is like when you, let's say, have a big weekend or a Friday or Saturday night and you drink and you stay up late and, you know, the next day you wake up and you're just like, I am never drinking again.
Right. We've all had many of those days, that's for sure.
Right. And you're just like, I'm never doing this again. I hate my life. Where's the Advil? I'm never doing this again. Okay. Fast forward, you will go through your work week Monday. Okay. Feeling better Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay. I'm kind of feeling normal again Thursday, Friday. What happens on Friday or Saturday?
You're doing it again.
Right.
Yeah.
You're doing it again. But what's interesting is in cannabis, especially in edibles, especially early on, like you have that one overdosing experience and you're never doing it again. You are never going to eat a Jolly Rancher on the way to the Staples Center and feeling like you're going to have a panic attack while making sure that the Jumbotron doesn't, you know, put its view on you because everyone's going to know. Not speaking from experience, but
I have a couple stories, Mark. I have a couple stories for sure.
So I think that's an important thing to kind of bring up, right? Especially in beverages and the fact that, you know, we did it in beverages. Beverages are, you know, not only a great entry point of conversation to cannabis, right? It's, you know, as you know, it's a really natural way to consume without having to smoke or deal with combustibles. And you're really not asking anyone to learn anything new as with other forms of intake, right? And, you know, liquid really allows you to control your dosing, especially for the new, the can of curious, right? It's like, I can decide, hey, I'm just going to drink, you know, a third of the can, half of the can, see how I feel. Virtuosa does a great job on our infusions, about 20 minute onset time, and really allows you to achieve, you know, your favorable balance. You know, sometimes with other products, you know, that's a lot harder to do, right? And I think also too, you know, people are accustomed to drinking something in social situations, right? And I think that this is very much a product that's meant to be shared. And, you know, the industry has been a long time a highly stigmatized space, but yet we feel this is, you know, something that can really help normalize and recruit new consumers into the category. Like, funny story, like people are like, well, what's the feedback been? And, you know, how's it? Well, it's been pretty overwhelming, but some of the ones that stand out are stories like, hey, I had a PBR seltzer with my dad or with my, you know, with my uncle. You know, they're a big fan of the brand and they would have probably never thought to, you know, they're maybe not cannabis users. Like Jeff, my own mother worked in the medical field for 40 years. Nothing against cannabis. She understands all the medicinal, you know, sort of advantages and properties that it has. She just, you know, wasn't for her. She started seeing the press and
she tried it.
I'm drinking it with my mom and dad. That's when I knew. I was like, wow, like this is really transcending generations. Everyone's really got kind of like a PBR story. Perhaps you have one of your own. But, you know, the power of the brand, the equity, the saliency is really something that goes unmatched.
Yeah. And I think, Mark, that's one thing I did want to bring up too. Like, you know, obviously you guys are, you know, an amazing brand that's been around for a long time. And, you know, you guys have kind of, from an innovation perspective, you kind of have taken that first step of going out against the grain, like something that hasn't been done before. You know, do you think this is going to signal to a lot of the other traditional brands out there that might be in similar spaces that they're going to tap into cannabis and start rolling out products? Like, I feel like you guys are a first mover here, but I think, in my opinion, you know, when people see this, they see a big brand that's been around. This is a big thing. This is a big wave that's going to be happening, you know? So I think I'm just curious from you, like you probably are already starting to see this with a lot of traditional brands starting to figure out, how do we get into this? How do we test it? You know, who are the audiences? Where do we roll it out?
Yeah, it's not a matter of if, but it's really when, right? I think there are massive and powerful implications for what traditional brands can do in the industry. You know, traditional brands seem to be, you know, legitimate to position themselves on cannabis products, especially in the eyes of consumers and, you know, the product experience. They can use their platform to, you know, be great tools to educate consumers, really increase trust. I think, you know, Ben said it really great, you know, with our brand comes our audience, and brands, one thing they know how to do very well is engage with their audience day in and day out, you know. But I also think, you know, as kind of, you know, a watch out, it's important for, you know, what to understand what the modern consumer is looking for. And that changes, right? And I think that, you know, my advice was for brands is be willing to change. And most importantly, you know, never stop innovating. I think that's really kind of like the lifeblood of the industry is, you know, talking about how we're always forward facing is never stop innovating. And, you know, don't stretch too far. You know, I think the industry and the audience they'll sniff you out quickly, you know, if you're right. Forcing something.
Anything you can give us into maybe the future, anything that you guys might be coming out with soon. And then also, like, you know, I'd just love to hear from you. I'm sure you've tried the product. What you think about the product?
Well, what I think about the product is, you know, I've worked in my entire career, either at PAPS or not, I've worked on a variety, a smorgasbord of different products. Those good and those bad. And nothing really can ever take away that first initial, you know, 3 to 5 seconds. You try something and you immediately know, like, I'm going to like this or I'm not. And with this product, I was completely taken aback and just how good it tastes. And I you know, it's hard to say that because obviously, you know, we put a lot of work into this, but you know, it's incredible. And I think the brand is doing something that this is history. And speaking about the brand, I think we really wanted to do something that still carried the same ethos, the spirit of innovation and purpose with the launch of this product, right? Like it's classic, but it's coming back new, and everyone's got their PBR story, whether it's like, hey, you know, that's used to be the stuff that my dad used to drink. Well, you know, now they're telling us stories that they're, you know, drinking them together with their parents. Like what a magical like moment.
Yeah. You guys did a great job, by the way, on the design of the can. I mean, in just from looking at it, I almost could taste what it tastes like, just because you guys have these great colors and the lemon and the seltzer, and like it just already sounds refreshing without even trying it. I think you guys did a bang up job there.
Thank you. Well, yeah, two things to call out. I think it was also important for us because when you look at sort of the design architecture and cues of the packaging, I think it's obviously sort of white and you've got a stripe of color. And I think that design cue is, you know, pretty prominent and very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. Also, it was important for us, Jeff, too, because, you know, you're seeing in a lot of designers, everyone wanted a leaf, right? Everyone wanted cannabis, everyone's green. And that's cool. In our quest and sort of, you know, the story of how we're going to continue to normalize the category, you know, we should be able to create products that can look and stand on their own and don't have to just have green on them or leaf for them to be cannabis product, right? Pave the new way for design. And so, you know, what the future will hold, the feedback's been pretty incredible. And I think that there are a lot of rumblings of new flavors for the upcoming year. There's a lot of rumblings from experienced users, you know, the feedback. I think everyone's up to try it. I don't think anyone's ever said, no, I don't want to try it. And I think, you know, when you talk about, you know, we're at 5 milligrams and experienced users and bud tenders are like, oh, that's dope. You guys, PBR made a drink. Like, that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And I think the overall sort of ethos of what we're hearing is like, that makes perfect sense, you know? So look out for some new flavors perhaps next year. And then, maybe some more surprises, but, we'll let you know as they come.
I love it. Keeping us on the hook. And yeah, I'm really thirsty right now, actually. in so many ways. But Mark, you know, I really appreciate you coming on the show. And, you know, congrats to you and the whole team and everything that you guys are doing. And, you know, not just being trailblazers, but, you know, really having fun with it. And, you know, appealing to a whole new audience. So congrats and fantastic having you on the show.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm excited to be here, and thanks for having us.
Awesome.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in, and if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.